Please bow your heads. Our Father in heaven, we pray for your presence in this sanctuary today. We pray for the dew of the heavenly Holy Spirit. We ask that he will be here. I pray for the gift of teaching. I ask that the ears that are listening to this message will be open. I ask that I will be clear. We just pray that you will be glorified, that the Holy Spirit will be the teacher, and that we as human beings will be humbled in the dust. We thank you, and we pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I am not a preacher, and I have taught, though. But I depend on the Lord for the gift of teaching, and I pray that he be here, as you heard in my prayer. So I'd like you to open up your Bibles to Ezekiel 47. We'll primarily be in Ezekiel 47. We are going to be talking about a healing river. We're going to look at Ezekiel's vision of a mighty healing river and how it relates to the loud cry message of Revelation 18. So let's open up our Bibles and go right to this healing river. Let me just, I'm going to have a lot of commentary here, so let me just read this commentary to you. This healing river is a vision that Ezekiel had, and it produces a wonderful work. We're told, this commentary here, that wonderful is the work which the Lord designs to accomplish through his church, that his name may be glorified. A picture of this work is given in Ezekiel's vision of the river of healing. So what is this wonderful work? It's described in the loud cry message. This is when God's last day people will be clothed with the armament of heaven, baptized with the Holy Spirit, and go forth to proclaim the message that will turn the world upside down. It will be a message of Christ in us, the hope of glory, of his power dwelling in us, a message of victory over our besetting sins and darling idols. It's a message of not only forgiveness of sins, which is a great and glorious message, but what's unique to us as Seventh-day Adventists is that the Lord will give us victory over sins. That's the message of righteousness by faith. And it's not in us. It's not in us. It's in Christ. It's looking to Christ. Because there is no good in us. We are totally and fully unworthy. But he can work in us. And it's not so much an intellectual message, although it's important to know. It's important to know these truths. But it's an experience. And how do we get this experience? It's through prayer. And humbling ourselves before the Lord. We'll talk more as we go along. So let's now open up our Bibles, Ezekiel 47:1. Because this river is a healing river. It's a supernatural river. Everything it touches comes to life. I wish we could do a video. I wish I could be like some great director could produce a video of this, because we're so visual in our society today. But Lord, I pray that we can see this river as we read these from the Word of God. So what does the Bible say? Afterward, he brought me again onto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. So Ezekiel's in vision. Who brought Ezekiel to the door of the house? Who is guiding him in this vision? If we read in the previous chapter, we see it's the Lord. It's the creator of heaven who condescends himself to give us this vision. He's directing Ezekiel. He's speaking with him. So this river, it flows out to the desert and the sea, and everything that it touches is healed, and the desert blooms. There is a fountain and a spring underneath the temple from where this river originates. So the river flows from a healing fountain We're told in Zechariah 13:1, in that day, and so we're going to let the Bible interpret itself. In that day, there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. It's that fountain of blood, of Christ's blood, that never-ending blood. Our lives depend upon it. We wouldn't be alive right now without it. It's our only hope. I am so thankful for that blood. Christ is the fountain from which the river flows. Again, I'm using commentary, we're using Bible, but Bible first. Christ is the fountain from which the river flows. From this fountain, Christ, capital F in fountain, flows the mighty river seen in Ezekiel's vision. The waters of this fountain contain medicinal properties. What does medicinal mean? Healing properties. Healing. Healing our minds. Healing our hearts. Healing our souls. Healing our bodies. It's going to heal both physical and spiritual infirmities. And brothers and sisters, we're sick. We're sick and we're dead. We're told that in Laodicea 3. But we have hope. We have this fountain and we have this healing river that gives us hope. And there's hope in this chapter. We get strength from the fountainhead. Remember, the fountainhead is Christ. Again, this is counsel, inspired counsel. I want to say that why we have not had more of the power and of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and to be able to present it to the people is because we have been reaching out to human agencies for strength. You hear what that says? We're going to human agencies instead of going to the fountainhead, instead of going to Christ, instead of going to the Bible. If others can go to the fountain, you can too. So in time of trouble and discouragement and perplexity, go to the fountainhead and there receive the strength you need. We tend to go to the world. We tend to comfort ourselves with the things of the world. But Jesus says, come to me. You're not going to get any satisfaction there. And I speak for myself too, brothers and sisters. This river starts out small. Ezekiel 47, verse 3. I'd like you to look at your Bible so you can find this, so you can have a connection in your mind, you know, with what I'm saying, so you can teach this to someone. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. So the river has spread to about 1/4 of a mile. That's 1,000 cubits. And it was up to a man's ankles. And we're told in the inspired counsel, our work has been presented to me as in the beginning, a small, very small rivulet. That's a very small river. We talked about faith in Sabbath school today. Just like that small mustard seed that grew into a great mountain, this small little tiny river grows into a mighty river that touches the sea, that heals the sea. Afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. So I believe the Lord's measuring the river, and it continues to grow. This trickling stream rises to a depth of 1 mile and to, or 4,000 cubits. Ezekiel says that in this passage, he needs to swim over the river in order to cross it. He can't walk anymore in that river. So this represents God's great healing power working through us in these last days. The healing river causes the desert to flourish. He said to me, son of man, verses 6 and 7, son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. When I returned, there along the bank of the river were many trees on one side and on the other. So it's like a supernatural river. The river flows through and trees spring up. They're fed by this river. There's life. There's life where the river goes. I come from southern Oregon, and it's a parched desert in the summertime. But there is a river, there's a stream that runs through my property. And along that stream, there's greenery, there's ferns. This river brings life. Christ is the fountainhead. And brothers and sisters, we are supposed to be the river. And this prophecy says that we are this river, giving life. Then he said to me, let's look at verses 8 and 9. Then he, the Lord, said to me, these waters issue out toward the eastern region and go down into the desert and go into the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. Can you imagine that? The river purifies the sea. Its waters are healed. And it shall be that everything that lives, which moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. So everything this river touches comes to life. There will be a great multitude of fish. There's life. Great fish, flowers, trees come to life because these waters shall go there, for they will be healed. There's healing in every way, and everything will live wherever the river goes. And we're told in inspiration, so our work as Seventh-day Adventists was presented to me as extending to the east and to the west, to the islands of the sea, and to all parts of the world, everywhere. Brothers and sisters, this is another explanation of the loud cry of Revelation 18. Revelation 18, it's a great light that illuminates the world. Here it's water that gives life. Some places, though, sadly, will not be healed. In Ezekiel 47:11, but the miry places, like a swamp thereof, and the marshes thereof shall not be healed. They will be given to salt. Salt is a killer of living things. It's a killer in this instance. This reminds me again, let's go to the Bible. In Hosea 4:17, Ephraim is joined to his idols. Leave him alone. So the river, these miry places rejected the river. Let them alone in Matthew 15:14. These are Christ's words. They be blind leaders of the blind. God forbid that be us. These are the rejectors of God's healing water. The miry places, the marshes, are rejectors of this fountain of Jesus Christ. God pursues and pursues and pursues. He comes after us. He seeks us. He's relentless. He seeks us. But he can't force our will. He can't force us. So like the attentive suitor in the Song of Solomon, like the loving father of the prodigal son who ran out, he ran out to meet his prodigal son, his wayward son. There comes a time when mercy pleads no more because of the rejectors of his grace. Those who persistently refuse are like a dead swamp, no life. Let that not be us, brothers and sisters. Let us not reject the pleadings of the Holy Spirit. When he softly comes to us and says, this is not the best thing to watch right now. This is not the best thing to listen to. This is not the best thing that you should be reading. Let's stop pushing him away, and listen and submit. And I speak for myself too, brothers and sisters. This heavenly healing river is not only here on this earth healing, but we're told in Ezekiel and also in Revelation, it's going to be in heaven. We see this is the end of the vision, verse 12. This healing river is in heaven, producing fruit and eternal life, very similar to how John described it in Revelation 22. Let's read from the Word of God. Look at your Bibles, Ezekiel 47:12. And by the river upon the bank, and on this side and that side, shall grow all trees for meat or food, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit be consumed. It shall bring forth, meaning the fruit won't decay. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary. And the fruit shall be for food, and the leaf for medicine. So it's a healing river that produces trees that are also healing. We read in Revelation, it's two different visions, but the same thing that both prophets are seeing. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, but not only for the nations, but for us individually. In Revelation, we read more about this healing river. Then the angel showed me a pure river of the water of life, bright as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and from the Lamb. As I said, the waters and water in Bible prophecy represents, we're told in Revelation 17:15, again, the Bible interpreting itself. You know, if we would have studied, we're told by inspiration, if we would have studied the Bibles like we should have as a people, as God's people, we wouldn't have needed the glorious and wonderful writings that we have from the Spirit of Prophecy. And I treasure those writings. You know, I never held the Bible until I was 17 years old. I grew up in a secular family. And I never owned a Bible, but it was a Bible worker who came up to me and handed me a King James Bible. And I was a very worldly person. And that was the first time I held a Bible. And she said, "Would you like to pray with me?" I had never prayed, not like she prayed. I had memorized prayers, but not like she prayed with me. And I thank God for that Bible worker. May we do the work that that Bible worker did about 50 years ago. May we rise up like a great army and do that work. Because brothers and sisters, there's a work to be done. God can't do this work. He wants us to work with him to do it. So this mighty healing river full of life represents God's people. Because you see, they're connected to the fountain. Remember, the fountain underneath the sanctuary is Jesus Christ. And through us, he works through us, the Holy Spirit working through us to bring healing to others. Healing of the body, healing of the mind, healing of the soul. And that's what we'll be talking about during the practical application of this, during the classes and our medical missionary training. For those of you who are going to be coming. Let's talk about the fountains of living water. God made Joseph a fountain of life to the Egyptian nation. Through Joseph, the life of that whole people was preserved. Through Daniel, God saved the lives of all the wise men of Babylon. So, through his people today, God desires to bring blessings to the world. He's looking for us to be filled with this living water to give it to others. Christ works through us. Christ came as the great physician to heal the wounds that sin had made in the human family. And his Spirit, working through us, his servants, imparts to sin-sick, suffering human beings a mighty healing power. That's that healing river that is efficacious for the body and soul. What does efficacious mean? It means producing an effect. God's people who are connected with Jesus, who have always been a healing balm or a healing remedy to those around them. However, in these last days, in these latter days, just before Jesus comes, this healing river which rises up and is so powerful, it heals the salty sea, it causes deserts to bloom, it takes on a special significance. Let's study some more. This healing river is a loud cry of the third angel's message. In Revelation 18:1, we see the culmination of it. Revelation 18:1 is especially for us as God's people. It's talking about our work in this time. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. So we have light here over all the world. We had water previously over all the world. As foretold in the 18th of Revelation, the third angel's message is to be proclaimed with great power by those who give the final warning against the beast and his image. This is the message given by God to be sounded forth in the loud cry of the third angel. The river rising up and making the desert green and healing the waters of the sea represents the loud cry of the three angels' messages. The angel in Revelation 18 who unites with the three angels in Revelation 14 is to lighten the whole world with his glory. We see here two magnificent powers of nature, water and light, covering the earth with glory and power, revealing the love of God, the sacrifice of Jesus to this dark, dry, sinful world. We read about this healing river, this light, and the loud cry in Daniel 11:44. We read about tidings out of the east and the north rise up. They rise up against a great political religious power. Revelation 11:44. This is present and future. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Trouble who? Trouble this great religious and political power that are united. The beast of Revelation 13, the land beast also. They are united. He shall go forth, so it riles up these beasts. And he shall go forward with great fury to destroy and utterly to make away with many. You see, we give the loud cry, and it's glorious. It will be much more glorious than what was in Pentecost. But then afterwards, brothers and sisters, we know what comes afterwards, and we should know because we need to prepare for it. We need to prepare our children for it. It will be great persecution. We're told this in the Bible. The Lord wants us to know. I was told Tarlene earlier, Tarlene, I'm not going to preach smooth things. I don't know when my life will end. I'm an old woman now. I don't know when it will end. And so I'm going to give you the message, you know, from the Bible and the spirit of prophecy. So we read about this loud cry message in Daniel 11. This message infuriates this dominating political religious power. Tidings from the east and north. How do we know this is a loud cry message? The sealing message comes from the east. And I saw another angel ascending from the east having the seal of the living God. Revelation 7:2. It's all from the Bible. We have the spirit of prophecy. We have our great scholars and theologians who also believe this, but we can go right to the Bible ourselves, brothers and sisters. God's throne is in the north. Remember, the tidings come from the north. This is God's message. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Where does Jesus return through? Do you remember, those of you who've studied early writings? Jesus comes through the constellation Orion. Where is Orion located? It's in the east. It's in the east. So tidings from the east is a message from heaven. Lucifer in Isaiah 14:13, he wanted to establish his throne. Does anyone remember that? Where? In the north. In the north. The tidings from the east and the north are the loud cry message. As Papal Rome, with the support of our beloved country, the USA, seemingly conquer the whole world, an important turn of events occurs. Tidings from the east and out of the north, Daniel 11:44, cover the world with life-giving river of life and light. These tidings are a worldwide message from God. It's going to counter the worldwide dominance of this political religious power. There are several key points in this final message of mercy. The love of Christ ignites the loud cry. This is from Six Testimonies. The love of Christ, the love of our brethren, will testify to the world that we have been with Jesus and learned of him. This is the key to be with Jesus. Then will the message of the third angel swell to a loud cry, and the whole earth will be lightened with the glory of the Lord. This is the preparation that I was talking about, as individually and as a people. In Daniel 10, and that's a whole other presentation, but in Daniel 10, when the 70 years were up and the Jewish people were then, it was prophesied in Isaiah and Jeremiah, they were to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple and institute the sanctuary services so that the 2300-day prophecy could come, so that Jesus could be born. Satan fought against that. Daniel was grieved for his people because they were asleep and they were dead, as we are today, brothers and sisters. And if we say we're not, then we are deceived and in a Laodicean state. We are in a Laodicean state. What did he do? Does anyone remember? He fasted and he prayed. And he didn't know how long he would need to fast. So he was 90 years old when he did that fast. So he just ate simple food. And he continued to pray and he continued to fast. And he was the prime minister of the kingdom then. Medo-Persia was in power at that time, but he took time off. When will we lay aside the things of the world to take time off, to fast and pray individually and as a people? Let us show by our works. Yes, it's a message of righteousness by faith, but God wants to see action. You know, we're sitting around thinking that this mighty event's going to occur. We're told in inspiration that God would not have sent Jesus and Gabriel to fight against Satan and his demons for the mind of Cyrus in order to issue the decree to send the people back. Sometimes he depends on us to pray, to fast as a people. Let us show it by our works and remove from our hearts everything that will shut out Jesus. My heart's convicted of things that shut out Jesus. Let's be honest with ourselves. The latter rain is to fall upon the people of God. A mighty angel is to come down from heaven, and the whole earth is to be lightened with his glory. Isaiah 61:3. This is the Lord pleading with us as a people. Arise, wake up. Shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. Does darkness cover the earth now? Does gross darkness cover the people? But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of the rising. Let's get together, brothers and sisters, and fast and pray that the lethargy like opium that keeps us asleep will wake us up. Who's going to give the loud cry? Men and women and children. As the third angel's message swells into a loud cry, great power and glory will attend its proclamation. The faces of God's people will shine with the light of heaven. Why are their faces shining? Because they're filled with that river of life. They're filled with the Holy Spirit from that fountainhead. Before I was converted, before I was a Christian, you know what I noticed about true Christians? They shone with this light. They were good people. I felt so wicked in their presence. But I wanted what they had. Do people think that of us? Do they want what we have? We're told from inspiration, the Lord will fit. Yes, he will fit men and women and, yes, children, as he did Samuel for his work, making them his messengers. He who never slumbers or sleeps, praise God, the Lord never slumbers or sleeps over each worker choosing his sphere of labor. He's going to choose our sphere of labor. He will prepare us. We aren't qualified, but he will give us the qualifications. The earth was lightened with his glory. This describes the loud cry message. Servants of God with their faces lightened up and shining with holy consecration will hasten from place to place to proclaim the message of heaven. By thousands of voices all over the earth, the warning will be given. I want to be part of this, don't you, brothers and sisters? I still want to be alive when this occurs. Let's make it happen. Let's pray for it, plead for it, like Daniel did. Miracles will be wrought. The sick will be healed, and signs and wonders will follow the believers. This is where the medical missionary work comes in. Some practical, simple remedies, like the River Supernatural. We're told that some of these simple remedies we'll be sharing with you have supernatural effects. The earth was lightened with his glory, with gospel medical missionary workers. In visions of the night, representations passed before me of a great reformatory movement among God's people. Many were praising God. The sick were healed and other miracles were wrought. A spirit of intercession, that's prayer, intercession, even as was manifested before the great day of Pentecost. Hundreds and thousands were seen visiting families and opening before them the word of God. I want to be part of that, brothers and sisters. Do you? Let's pray for it. I pray we can be part of it. Has a loud cry started? We're told in 1892 that yes, the time of test is just before us, for the loud cry of the third angel's message has already begun in the righteousness of Christ. But we as a people offended the Holy Spirit. Can you believe it? We offended the Holy Spirit. Let's not make that same mistake again. This is the beginning of the light of the angel whose glory shall fill the whole earth. This is a chronology of last day events, and I'm sorry, I don't have a pointer and you can't see my cursor. But where this is from, this is a diagram by W.D. Frisee. It's in his book, Coming Events and Crisis at the Close. It's written by Elder Hayward. And you can see it starts with 1798, the beginning of the time of the end, the third angel's message, and where I believe we are right now, and other scholars like Dr. Norman McNulty and others, we're at the beginning of the shaking time.
I just want to yes. say, you can see the cursor.
Oh, you can?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So
I can't see it, but you can see it.
Oh, you can. Can you see it over there?
As you're moving, I can. Yes,
can
I can.
So
oh, great.
We can see it as you're moving it.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, I can't see it, but you can see it. Wonderful. Okay, I believe we're here at the shaking time. And then what comes after that shaking time? We have the loud cry message, the little time of trouble with the loud cry message. And we can see the shaking time happening now. We can see some of our foundational truths being attacked, like the 2300-day prophecy, which is so important for us to know as a people. And then the close of probation and the great time of trouble. We are at the very, close to the very, very end. We look behind at the fulfillment of the prophecy of Daniel 8:14. That's where the 2300-day prophecy ended. Now we look ahead to the fulfillment of this prophecy. Getting back to the loud cry, hearts were convicted by the power of the Holy Spirit, and a spirit of genuine conversion was manifest. On every side, doors were thrown open to the proclamation of the truth. Those of you who've done door-to-door work, that's going to be a very special time. The world seemed to lighten with the heavenly influence. Great blessings were received by the true and humble people for God, of God. What is our role in ushering in the loud cry? I do a book club of early writings in my home church in Southern Oregon. It's entitled Preparing for Christ's Return. And in it, there are 28 things in that chapter. I highly recommend you read this chapter to prepare us. And as we were studying a couple of weeks ago, we were reading through and we're thinking, we don't have this. We don't have this. Let's pull it apart. It's only about 4 pages long, but it's so packed with truth and glory. So we started writing on a whiteboard every one of those 28 qualities that we need as a people. And we thought, how are we going to get this? It's not by works of righteousness, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we started praying. We made a list, and we're praying. Each day we're praying for something new. Let me just give you an example. This is quoted. Some of it's quoted verbatim. In all that we do and say, we will have an eye single or focused, an eye single to the glory of God. That means clear and focused and undivided. All of these other distractions, our attention is upon God and His will and His glory. Not how I can please you, but Lord, how can I please you, Lord, in what I speak about today, in what I teach this afternoon? How can I please you? And there's such a freedom in that, brothers and sisters. Now, these are just 5 of the things that struck my heart personally, but please read that chapter, study it carefully, make your own list. Avoiding and renouncing the amusements and things of the world. This is essential to the preparation. This is a stumbling block for many of us. I speak of myself too, brothers and sisters. We will not seek to please and gratify self, but to honor and glorify God. This we can only do through the power of God, because we're so prideful. Self is ever ready to rise up like a noxious weed. We will have God's holy restraint upon us and an earnest desire to suffer for him who suffered and endured so much for us. Lord, give me your holy restraint. This is what we're praying. Lord, give me your holy restraint. Lord, I like watching these TV programs. Make it disgusting to me. Take it away. I don't want it. Help me, Lord, not to seek or please myself, but to honor and glorify you, to make you first. And then he gives us a trial of our faith where self rises up. And we think, oh, I'm not there, Lord. Lord, come, give me more of this water of life. Consistent watching and praying, consistent watching and praying for the enemy's devices. We have to know ourselves, our weaknesses, so we can resist the enemy, endure temptation, and have victory over sin. So I'm running late, and I want to end with, I just want to end with this. Jesus talks a lot about the river of life. The Bible, if you start searching in the Bible about this river of life, you'll see a lot about it. Jesus says, whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Lord, give us this water. Give us this fountain of water, this living water. In Revelation, Jesus says, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's saying, I am in control. I have power. I have the victory over this situation here on this wicked earth. I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. Are you thirsty, brothers and sisters? Are you thirsty? I'm parched. So Lord Jesus, give us this living water. And he promises right here, he promises. Do you trust his word? He promises it to give it to us. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Who's the bride? We are. We're the bride. These are our marching orders. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. If you'd like that water of life, please pray with me. Please bow your heads and pray with me. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful for the word of God that is so clear. We're so thankful that you have given us the spirit of prophecy as a church. What a gift. We're so thankful for the water of life. We're so thankful that you've shown us clearly what we need to pray for. We're so thankful you're so willing to give us these great treasures in heaven. We pray that these words will not fall on deaf ears, but that we will fulfill the commission that you have given us. I pray a blessing on everyone here. I pray a blessing for the medical missionaries who signed up for this course. I pray for strength and clarity as we go into the class at 2 p.m. this afternoon. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.